Good morning, church. The scripture reading, the first scripture reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 5, verses 1 to 21. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle." Therefore they cry, "Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the men that they may labor at it and pay no regard to lying words." So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, "Thus say Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves, wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least." So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, "Complete your work day, your daily task each day, as when there was straw." And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmaster had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not done all your tasks of making bricks today and yesterday, as in the past?" Then the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, "Why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, 'Make bricks.' And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people." But he said, "You are idle, you are idle. That is why you say, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Go now and work. No straw will be given to you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks." The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, "You shall by no means reduce the number of bricks, your daily task each day." They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them, as they came out from Pharaoh, and they said to them, "The Lord looked on you and judged, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to the Lord. The second reading taken from the New Testament is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 6 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." Verse 6. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much, Thomas, for the reading. And what a great joy it is for us to worship the Lord at E2 service. I normally attend the E1, so it's very refreshing for me to see some of the faces I don't usually see on a week-to-week basis. And today, I am preaching this sermon for the third time now, so I hope I don't fall asleep while preaching it. When Pastor Victor gave me this topic, making bricks without straw, I was very excited because I actually like this passage very much. But little did I realize that I'll be preaching a message without voice because I've been suffering from flu throughout the week. And yesterday and especially this morning was quite tough. But I thank God that He has enabled me to pull through. And this is the third time I'm preaching this message. I want to thank God for the worship songs that we sang today. Thank you, Namchuk and the team. You know, when you reminded us that God's grace is sufficient for us. God is the strength of my heart. I think that is the spirit in which we serve the Lord. It's never about our own strength. So let me say a short prayer that God will give me the strength that even though I come in weakness, you will hear the message with the strength of the Lord. Shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that while we are weak, you are strong. That Lord, when we look to you, Lord, we receive far more than we can imagine. So we pray, Holy Spirit, come and take these words and plant them deep into our hearts that we may be enabled to persevere even in the midst of opposition. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the phrase making bricks without straw has very much entered as an idiom into the English language. And what it means is to be forced or to ask to do something very challenging, very difficult, but without the necessary resources to do it. And anyone who's been asked to do something difficult without the requisite resources will naturally feel very frustrated. And we feel that someone is trying to make life hard for us. And we feel that we are being opposed. And that's exactly what we are talking about today. That in life, there will be such times, not that God is against us or people are against us, but sometimes the going can get tough. Whether it's in our personal walk with God, in our life at work, in the responsibilities in the family, or even in the ministry of the church. Sometimes things can get tough. So how can we learn how to persevere when such opposition comes our way? So all this happens, the lesson here is of course from the experience of the Israelites who were slaves in Egypt. Many of you know that at that time, the Israelites have already been oppressed by the Egyptians for many years. By the time we read the story that is read by Thomas this morning, Moses had come to them the second time to try to rescue them. And Moses was already 80 years old. Way before then, even before Moses was born, the Egyptians were already trying to control the population of the Israelites. And Moses, by the hand of God, miraculously survived. So even from before Moses was born, the Israelites have been crying out to the Lord amidst their slavery. And we are able to read the story today because their cry has not gone unheard. And this is important because very often when we face opposition, we cry out to the Lord and we wonder whether God is really listening or not. But today we want you to know that even before the first action of deliverance took place, God has already heard their cry. That's why God sent Moses to them, because God saw, God heard, and God remembered the covenant that He made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that He would remember His people. And God knew what He was going to do. God was going to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. So when the Israelites heard from Moses that God has sent him to them, because God has remembered His covenant, God has not forgotten His people, the people believed. And that was so important because it's only when they believe, then you will find relief. Sometimes we want relief, but we have not believed. But we need to believe first, and then the relief comes. And when they heard the word of the Lord, they bowed down and they worshipped. So this is a wonderful moment. God has come to rescue them. But as they embark on that journey of being rescued from the hand of the Egyptians, things did not go the way that they wanted. Because when Moses went to Pharaoh to request for the exit of the people of Israel to worship the Lord, Pharaoh not only refused, but he decided to further oppress them, to make bricks without providing them with a straw. So they had to use their own manpower resources to go to faraway places to get straw in order to make bricks. And the number of bricks they have to make did not decrease because of the additional burden, but it has to be maintained, and it became an even greater burden for the people of Israel. Just when things were beginning to look up, suddenly everything crashed and things become worse than ever. What will we do in a time like this? The Israelites did what it was natural for any human being to do. They complained. They complained. You know, I saw from the bulletin that there will be a course on lamentations. Lamentation is not complaining, you know. Lamentation is complaining with faith. So I hope you will come for the course on lamentation, so that instead of just complaining, we learn to lament, because lamentation is complaining with faith. But they were not lamenting, they were simply complaining. And they even call a curse upon Moses, says, "The Lord look on you and judge you, because you have got us into trouble." And you are so harsh. Moses, as soon as his ministry began, it crashed. And he, of course, then brought his complaint to God. And listen to the way that Moses talked to God. He's doing exactly the same thing as what the people did to him. He turned to the Lord, "Oh Lord, why have you done evil to these people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to these people, and you have not delivered your people at all." So Moses, in that same spirit, came and just lay his complaint against the Lord. That is just so human. Brothers and sisters, when we think about that, you know, what is actually happening here? These are the three questions that we often ask when we are in a similar situation. Why are we in this situation? Why is this happening to us? Why should we even continue on this path? Why should we not give up? Because things have not gotten better. In fact, things have gotten worse. Why? Let me just point out something, brothers and sisters. These questions are not being asked by the Israelites or by Moses because they want to have an answer. These are what we call rhetorical questions. A rhetorical question is not looking for an intellectual answer. A rhetorical question is just asked as a way of saying, "God, you are wrong. God, is all your fault. Moses, you are the one that got us into trouble." It's just a way of putting an argument forward. And that's why if we are asked this kind of question, if we are faced with this kind of opposition today, very often following the ways of man, following the ways of the world, we will also ask why. And when we ask why, what we are really saying is this: we cry out to God. We just wanted God to help us a little bit. Instead of helping us that little bit, he made it much worse. It's a way of complaining. Why us? What did we do wrong? Our only mistake is that we follow God. Or our only mistake is that we follow this Moses. We should have known. The first time he tried to rescue us, he got himself into trouble. And then he went and ran away. And now he's back a second time. And now he's even greater trouble than before. Because not only did he get himself into trouble, he got us into trouble. So in the ways of the world, when we ask why, we're not looking for an answer. We're just looking to complain. And when we ask why persevere, we're basically saying there's no point. We ask why in order to say that we might as well just stop, say sorry, go back to being obedient slaves. But these are the ways of the world, brothers and sisters. You know, God never does anything without a reason. Would you say amen to that? God is not a senseless God. God is not an irrational God. And most of all, God is not an evil God. When Moses says, "Why do you bring this evil against the Lord?" It was a very harsh statement. Because God is not an evil God. And God takes our why seriously. Although we ask why in a rhetorical way just to provoke and just to let our anger. But God has a good reason for those whys. And I want to share this with you from the perspective of faith. How God will answer these questions why. Why is this happened to us? Why are we in this trouble? And the reason is that God has a bigger plan in mind than our limited mind and our limited imagination could understand. We may think that we just want things to be a little bit better, but God has got a far greater plan. When we wanted to renew the land lease for our church property, all we wanted was to continue our life as a church, isn't it? Why is it so difficult, you know? We have been here for all these years. Just let us continue, lah, you know? And then when the answer came back, no, you cannot, you're going to lose half your land because your land is too big. It became very frustrating for us. But what was God doing? God is not trying to take away our land. God is saying, I got a better use for this land. It's great that we have a church here. And I want to give you, I want to extend this lease so that we can continue to worship here. But God is saying, I don't want people to just park cars on the rest of the land. I want the rest of the land to be a place where people will be blessed, where children will be educated, where the generations will be connected. God has a bigger plan. God is not interested in just giving His people a better time as a slave. God wanted to deliver them from slavery. Because this has been God's intention all along. God knew that they will go into slavery. And God knew that He would come to them. And God would rescue them. And they will come back to the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are not in trouble because they went to Pharaoh to make an audacious request. They were in trouble because when God does something, often it gets more challenging. And when it gets more challenging, God reveals His power. And God has got something far greater than we can imagine at the end of it. And when we go through that greater trouble, that greater problem, God shows up and God reveals Himself. And when God reveals Himself, we get transformed into a people that we are not yet. And that is the second question. Why us? Because we are God's chosen people. We are the object of His faithful covenantal love. He has called us to receive His mercy and His blessings. He has called us to be a blessing to other people. And when God wants us to fulfill that purpose, we cannot fulfill it just as we are. We need to see God come true for us, not just in our present circumstances, come true for us in an even more challenging situation. Because that more challenging situation forces us to look deeper into our faith, forces us to trust in God more, so that God, with that greater faith that comes out from us, God is able to do these greater things. So this is happening to us because God's favor, we are His chosen people. And once you understand that, you realize that we are facing these challenges because we have this ministry. But we have this ministry because God has a far greater plan, which we have received by His mercy. Brothers and sisters, we do not lose heart. You know, human beings have a tremendous capacity for suffering and adversity. But we can only have strength to go through challenges when we see the deeper meaning, the higher purpose that comes out of that suffering. It's not that we cannot suffer, but we cannot suffer if there's no meaning. And God is showing us that He has got something in store for us that will cause our suffering to pale in comparison. And when we realize that, then we know it's worth it. And then we know that we will not give up. We do not lose heart. And that leads us to God's answer for the question, why persevere? Because when we persevere, we will see God's mighty hand, not only delivering us, not only sustaining us, but forming us, deepening us, making us into a people for His own glory. A people that we are not yet We have not yet become, but we will become as we go through that journey with the Lord. In the 2 Corinthians reading just now, Paul says that God has called the light to shine out of the darkness. That light is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And He has given us that light. And Paul likens us to these earthen vessels, jars of clay, which are not attractive in ourselves, that will not be able to make a difference in other people's lives, just as a jar. But God has chosen to entrust His treasure, and the treasure is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has placed His treasure within us as a jar of clay, so that as people approach us, they will be surprised that there's a light that is shining out of us. And that light is our Lord Jesus Christ. And their lives will be changed. They'll be transformed when they see that light. But there's a beauty about this jar, that it is because it is so vulnerable, it is so easily broken, that people will see when they are blessed, that it is not because of our power, because we don't have any power of our own. It's not because of our goodness, because the Bible says even our righteousness is like filthy rags before the Lord. We are nothing. When people come and they experience goodness, despite us, they will know this is not because of us. This is because of the Lord. They will give glory to the Lord. So this is the beauty, brothers and sisters, that when we go through such times of challenges, we will prove that God is powerful, that God is faithful. So Paul says this is what we will become when we trust the Lord in times of opposition. We may be afflicted in every way, but we will not be crushed. Afflicted or affliction simply means suffering. We will go through difficulties. We will have challenges. We will have to experience discomfort. But normally these challenges, this discomfort will cause us to be crushed. But because God is at work in us, we will not be. And that is the real proof, that's the real test, that what is happening here is something far greater than an organization trying to do something good for humanity. That what is happening here is divine. It comes from on high and is working out. It's being powerfully worked out because God is the one doing it. To just give you a sense of the illustration of what it means to be afflicted in every way, but not crushed. How many of you enjoy eating potato chips? Not me. I've been trying to cut down. No more chips for me. But when you go to the supermarket, you know, you buy a bag of potato chips. Do you realize that the bag of chips is quite light, but it occupies a lot of space? The bag is very puffy, right? You know, and then sometimes I wonder, wow, so wasteful, huh? Take up so much space, only a little bit of chips. And then when I started considering why is it like that, you know, and then suddenly it dawned upon me, because the chips are fragile. We are fragile. The chips are fragile. But when the manufacturers want to deliver these chips to us in a nice round piece, you know, not broken up and all, what they did was, before they sealed the bag, they make the bag a little bit bigger. And before they seal the bag, they pump nitrogen inside. And the bag blows up, right? And then they seal it. You know what's happening in there? The nitrogen inside the bag prevents the bag from collapsing. And when the bag is packed together, it can still hold its shape. So what is inside the fragile chips are not crushed. Is it because the chips are strong? No. But it's because there is a power that is working inside the bag. And that power protects the chips. That is what we go through when we follow the way of the Lord. When we do what the Lord has ordained for us to do. When we reach out to the community in radical hospitality. We will have pressure. We will have people who do not understand and do not appreciate. We will, along with very sincere people, we also have other not so sincere people that will bring challenges, that will bring problems, all right? And we will reach that point where we say, is it worth doing it? And we will start counting the cost and we say that, hey, this is a bit too much. But remember, if we are following the way of the Lord, if this is God shining His light through us, we may be afflicted. Let's not deny it. Let's not pretend there's no problem. We may be afflicted, but we will not be crushed. Amen. We will not be crushed because God's power is working inside us. And they will have many questions. Why like this lah? Why like that lah? You know, perplexed. What perplex means? Confused. Don't understand. How come must be like that? You know, like that means like that lah. But that's not a good answer. Perplex means there's no answer. But when there's no answer, without faith, we get frustrated. No answer, don't do lah. Until God answer, then I do. That's called despair. Where we are in despair means we give up. But when we know that this is not the ways of man, but it's the ways of God. Even when we don't understand, we know that God is in it. And God knows. God understands. God has a wisdom. God's ways are higher than my ways. If that is the case, then even though I don't have the answer, I surrender to the Lord. Lord, as long as you know what you're doing, I will go along with you. I will not be in despair. That's what it means. And thirdly, we may sometimes even have criticism, may even have persecution, you know. Now, there's no way we can get around that. In fact, this is the testimony of the church for the past 2,000 years. At all times and in every place, that they have experienced persecution. Singapore, in the light of 2,000 years of church history, Singapore at this time is really an exception. And we must not take this exception for granted, that we have a favorable environment to do God's will, to share God's word, without that kind of persecution that will threaten us existentially. It is an exception, it's not a norm. But everywhere, a few years ago, there was an exhibition at the Asian Civilization Museum that talked about Christianity in Asia. I went to see it, and the exhibition that caught my attention the most was the persecution of Christians in Japan. And I hope that you'll return, or you can Google it on the internet, how hundreds and thousands of not only ministers, but even Christians were put to death by fire and by the sword, and even by crucifixion. This is in our own land, all right? So when we are persecuted, what do? Well, we are not persecuted, so we don't know. But there may be subtle pushback, there may be subtle, you know, little things that make us uncomfortable. What I do is I look to the cross. One of the beauty of having a cross like this without the body of Christ on it is that we are reminded that Christ is risen. But there's a problem with us human beings, that we like to look at the resurrection, the empty cross. Christ is risen. And we forgot that Christ hung there on that cross. And he bled. And even as he bled, he cried out to the Father to forgive those who persecute him. And it is only in the fullness of that torturous time that he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. Hebrews tells us, Hebrews chapter 12, tells us that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. So if we are the followers of Jesus, where we experience a little bit of persecution, I dare not call it persecution. Because by calling it that little discomfort as persecution, I'm dishonoring the martyrs in Japan. I'm dishonoring the cross. Because that is real persecution. Mine is incomparable. But when I look at Jesus and I remember that he hang on there for as long as it takes, and he only say it is finished when it is finished. When God ordained that, that's it. He has given everything. So have I given everything yet? Not yet. So I will learn to persevere. So when I look at Jesus, I know that he is with me. Even I imagine his body on the cross. I'm persecuted, but I am not forsaken. Because Christ the crucified is standing with me. And if Christ the crucified is standing with me, likewise, Christ the resurrection and the life will bring me back to life again. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Finally, struck down, but not destroyed. Will we face setbacks? We will. It's inevitable in the course of any enterprise. But will the first setback be the time for us to fold our tent and go home? That's what it's called being destroyed. But when we know that this power is God working in us and not us working for God, it's God working in us. Then we know, even when we are struck down, it's not the end. When we are struck down, we get up again. Because God has not, this story of God has not ended yet. So today, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, as we come together as His people, as we, over the past 2 years, we have got onto this track, Project Spring Winter, SJSM Village. I really appreciate Pastor Victor for the gentle way, for the jovial way, for the kind way and understanding way in which he has been leading our church for the past few years, and the way that he has got us back on track again. We're about to take off, but it means that we need to be prepared in the long haul for what we will go through. And even when we experience opposition, may we not consider it the end, but that through all these challenges, all the more we are shaped to become God's people. We become even more alive in God. And as Paul says, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Let me end with the story of William Cowper. William Cowper was a gifted poet, but he was also prone to depression. And in fact, he had several episodes where he wanted to end his own life. And because of that, he was admitted to a mental asylum. But God was not done with William Cowper, because in that mental asylum, he met Christ, he heard the gospel, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he also met a pastor who was destined by God to meet him. And it's none other than the Reverend John Newton. Does the name John Newton mean anything to anybody here? He's the one that wrote the song Amazing Grace, because he was a slave trader. He committed atrocities against the African slaves that he brought to Europe to sell. But when he came and he met Jesus, John Newton gave his life to Christ. And he wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. John Newton understood what it means for his wretched life to be raised up and saved. So he said to William Cowper, your life is not over because you have met Jesus. Your life has only begun. Use your poetic gift to write about the grace of God, to write songs and hymns about God's wonderful nature and character and the way that God works. And one of the most beautiful hymns, he wrote many, one of the most beautiful hymns that William Cowper wrote is this hymn, God Moves in Mysterious Ways. And I feel sad, sometimes people use this term, sometimes as a kind of a mockery, you know, as a joke to say, yeah, God moves in mysterious ways. But this hymn is so real to William Cowper, because indeed, the way that God rescued him was mysterious, but it is beautiful. I want to just read for you, this is the verse 1 and verse 2. I just want to read for you a few lines from verse 3. God's purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. But God is his own interpreter. Oh, don't you love that? Only God knows what he's doing. In other words, don't presume to know what God is doing. God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. In other words, just you wait. God will reveal his purposes as we continue to persevere and trust in him. So with that, I want to encourage all of us, as I invite the worship team to come up here. When the going gets tough, brothers and sisters, don't give up. Look up. God, I believe God has is the one that led Brother Brandon to come up and share with us Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. I will look up. Where does my help come from? That is the cry that the Israelites should have been crying. Where does my help come from? If they cried that cry, then they will hear, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let my feet be moved. Don't trust in flesh. Count on God, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look around. Don't point fingers. Whose fault is it? Look deeper. Look deeper into God's marvelous ways and let God show us what he is up to. for he is up to something amazing. Let's stand together. Let us use this song as our response to the Lord. Whatever happens, God is on his throne. Whatever the terrain, God's purposes, God's ways cannot be thwarted. So in your own life, whatever you're going through, in your cell group, in your ministry, in your career, in your family, in our church, let us affirm this today, that because we belong to the Lord, because we are following him, because we live and we serve for his glory, whatever challenges we go through, we don't have to deny it, but we just have to look up and say, God, you will make a way.